you open up a whole new world to them. And so they're willing to listen, they're willing to learn, they're willing to submit themselves. You give them advice, you give them a challenge, but, you know, yeah, this is great, thanks a lot, and it's terrific. This goes on for almost a year with most people. But somewhere between like about 18 months or so and 2 years, they reach a point when, oh, they've gotten a number of topical studies under their belt now, you know? And they know how to look things up now pretty much on their own. And, of course, by this time they've become well-versed theologians, experts in God and theology. And so you begin to continue to challenge them, and now you're getting more things into their life, because in the beginning you talk about getting into their life and changing their life here and there, and you change the easy things with them, right? That's what you do. With a baby, when the baby's first born, what do? They learn how to do the easy stuff. You know, like put food in the mouth. You learn how to do that. You learn how to swallow, you learn how to eat. There are certain little things, you know. Eventually they learn how to go potty, you know. But they still haven't learned to do brain surgery yet. They're not quite ready for that. There's a growth process they have to go through before they can become a brain surgeon. But how many little kids feel like they're ready to do brain surgery on their other brother or sister, too? You know, give them a knife. A lot of them feel very capable. I mean, I used to ask my dad, I was about 10 years old, Dad, can I drive the car? Just around the block, come on. Yeah, I felt very capable. Couldn't see over the steering wheel. Dad, really, I'll just sit on a couple of pillows. We'll move the seat up like, come on. He's going, no. You know, what are you, stupid? You know, shut up, you hooplehead. Get out of here. Things like that. Bimbo brain, hoople head. That's you. When I started talking like that, that's what I usually got. But that's really what I was, too. Somebody says, oh, you're your self-image. Well, that might not be recommendable or, you know, a recommended thing to do to your son or your daughter to talk to them like that. But the point is that I was kind of a fool to think I could handle that, wasn't I? Just didn't know my limitations. I didn't want to submit. I don't need that anymore. I got it enough now. And all of a sudden, by the time I get to be 13, 14, 15, 16, now I'm an expert on parenting as well. And what my parents are doing right and wrong. And how I could improve on their job anytime, any day of the week, you know. And I know that until my own children are about 3 or 4 years old, and I go, oh, they were right. But I become an expert on parenting. You know, as you grow up, well, this happens to people in Christ, unfortunately, and all of a sudden they become experts. And they've been growing older in Christ in their mind, and I've been growing younger. To where they're beyond me. I'm just a stupid preacher. They are master theologians with degrees from their own school of theology. So you say, wow, where are you getting all this from? The thing was, well, from the point that there was a time when I could say, well, this is the way this is. They not only were prepared to take my word for it, they wanted to when I didn't want them to. When I said, please, check it out. But there were things, and there will be things, that because they are this old, you know, they're this young in Christ, that I'm this old in Christ, they're not going to see this clearly, and they're going to have to take my word for it. Or they're going to have to let me lead them to an understanding of it, at least, to show them what I'm talking about. But what happens is, they know enough now, and then I try to say, well, no, you need to do this now. Who are you? And you see, all of a sudden, it's like, so what's this leadership group? How do you get into that? What do you talk about in there? I want to attend it. I want to see one of those meetings. You got a problem with that? I'm thinking, who is this guy? Where did he come in? How did he get in? How did he blow in the door? These are people that you've known. I think, huh? Even in the denominational world, denominational churches can make up all kinds of rules. They don't even need the Bible to back them up. And they've got people who will submit to those rules. And if you don't, there's the door. We're not speaking from creed books and rules of faith. We're speaking from the Bible. And we show people a verse. And the answer is, well, I don't know, I'll have to pray about it. What do you mean you do not know? Did you not learn how to read in school? What is there to pray about? I do not understand your problem. I mean, I guess they sense a little bit of frustration in my voice. In Hebrews chapter 13, and verse 7, it says, remember those who led you. Guess what that makes them? Leaders. See, you can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you won't go. This one passage says, remember your leaders, or remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. And considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith. Not yours, theirs. And so the older Christians in this congregation are to stand as an example to the younger members of this congregation. Period. No apologies, that's it. Like it or lump it. That's it. I don't mean to be so harsh, but that's the truth. This is the truth. It's not a lie. This is the truth. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. That means that we need people to imitate. People are worthy of imitation, providing they are the ones who led us. Whether you think so or not. Why are there constantly these admonitions? Submit, submit, subject yourself, submit. Remember the outcome of it. Imitate their faith. Seems to be there's a problem. And in fact, look at verse 17, same chapter. I like this one. There are some people who try to say that this is just specifically talking about elders, because elders are the only leaders in the church. I believe that's a bunch of garbage. I don't believe that at all. This passage doesn't say elders. This passage says leaders. Earlier it says those who led you in the faith, who spoke the word of God to you. That could be a preacher too. Be Timothy the evangelist. Could be an older brother or sister. A teacher of the church. Whoever they are in the church, if they are in leadership, you are to what?
Obey.
What else? Verse 17? The first word. Starts with an O. Oh, what? Oh, no. Oh, what?
Obey.
No. Oh, no. Right? Obey?
Obey.
Oh, no. Obey. That's the way we look at that. Oh, no, obey. Obey, that doesn't mean I have to do what he says. What does obey mean? Wait a minute now, what am I getting into here? Yeah, we'll tell you to sell your children. And let's see, what other things we can think up? Go to a local butcher shop, buy some blood, offer sacrifices? No. We're talking about in the word of the Lord. They don't have a right to command you to do things outside of the word. But there are things which they do have the right to command you to do. And you are to obey. That means, yes, master. I mean, that's what it means to me. That's what I've been taught obedience means. Weren't you taught obedience means, yes, sir?
I don't like that.
That's your attitude of lack of submission, a lack of subjection, your rebellion and your rejection of authority. That's because you think you're too great. You're too big. You make yourself God. And look, frankly, you look silly sitting on that throne. It's too big for you. So, I picture, remember that Lily Tomlin who did a little girl routine and sit on that huge rocking chair they made for her? That's what you look like up there. And that's the truth. Obey your leaders and submit to them. I like the way the New International Version puts it. What does the New International Version say there? Submit to their authority, verse 17. Is that what it says, Roger? Roger? Right? It says, submit to their authority. You mean leaders in the church have authority? Where did they get their authority from? If the Bible says submit to it. God! So you resist the authority of a leader in the church, and whose authority do you resist? God! Who do you resist? Who do you reject? God! Who do you deny? God! But I'm still a Christian. Know how I love Jesus? No. And you can smile and cry and pray. But you don't love God. What is the love of God? 1 John 5, verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Very simple. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch for your souls. Some versions will say, as those who keep watch or will give answer for your souls, as those who will give an account for your soul. And you better let them do this with joy. Do not let it be a burden, but a joy. See, we have a choice. We can make ourselves a real burden to our leaders. I'll do it if you can prove it. If you persuade me and you rake me over the coals for a long time, you know, then you'll get me to do it. But otherwise, forget it, you know. If you can pressure me enough and put enough weight to bear on me, maybe I'll do it. All right, you know, I'll give in. Thank you for being so gracious. What does that do? I mean, if some of you who have been employers or foremen or bosses or had your own business, what's it like when you got somebody who doesn't want to do what you like? What do you tell them? And maybe you can get them to do what you want, but it takes a long time. It's a fight. It's a push come to shove. Is that an enjoyable thing for you? Usually, they turn out to be very good for them, too. No, the whole situation's bad, isn't it? That's what he says here. He says, it's up to you as the employee to make sure your employer can rule you with a great joy or a lot of grief. You give him grief, it's not going to be very profitable for you. It would be unprofitable for you, the end of verse 17. So what I'm speaking about is submission to authority within the church and within society. And according to Ephesians 5, verse 21, to one another, in the fear of Christ. Somebody says, well, I ain't going to submit to no man. Well, then you're not submitting to Christ. And you don't fear Christ enough. Because Christ said in Ephesians 5, verse 21, if you fear me, you'll submit to one another. That's right. That's right. A preacher for a Long Island church, supposedly of the Lord, told me, well, you know, Kent, a couple of our members went over to his congregation over this issue. And I was reading to him from, you know, 1 Timothy. And he said, now, Kent, we as evangelists do not have the right to command anybody to do anything. All we can do is teach and suggest and lead and pray. But we cannot command. We cannot command. And I said, We must be reading two different Bibles. And he goes, now why do you make that kind of remark? You see, you make these inflammatory statements and so on. I said, well, I find your statement to be more inflammatory than mine. It's inflaming my intestines to hear you talk like that. He said, now Kent, I said, now Carl. He said, well, you can't do that. I said, would you believe it if I could show you where we're supposed to command people? He says, yeah. I said, great. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. He had the New American Standard, same Bible I did, so I said, that's a good Bible, I like that Bible. I said, why don't you read for me 1 Timothy 4, verse 11? He said, prescribe and teach these things. You see, that's what we can do. We can give prescriptions for things. We can teach, but we can't command anybody to do anything. I said, that's really neat. I said, what school of preaching do you go to? He told me. I said, they didn't teach you any Greek there? He said, they did. I said, did they ever teach you to read the marginal reading to see if there was any literal things there? He said, yeah. I said, well, what's the marginal reading in your Bible right there? He went, keep on command. What does it really mean, command? So it wasn't me. He says, but yeah, that's the only place it says it. I said, no, it says it in verse 7 of chapter 5, next chapter, again. Prescribe these things as well. It means keep commanding them. Not just command them once. It's in the Greek language, which is what your New Testament was originally written in. The inspired authors, written, guided by the Holy Spirit, said, I want you to keep on commanding these things. I don't want you to stop. Don't be intimidated. He'll say in any place, don't you be frightened by anybody's fear. He'll tell Timothy, God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. You preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. You reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and patience and doctrine. For the time's going to come when they're going to want to hear sound doctrine, or will accumulate to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires because they're itching ears. They want their ears tickled. Ooh, that feels good. Yeah. It's like a dog, you know. It's like, But my Bible says that evangelists can do what? Not only command, but to keep it up. Well, he says, Kent, will you keep it up? And you're not going to have any congregation to preach for. I said, well, then there's not going to be anybody saved. I said, that's all. I know what my Bible says. And I know what saved people will do. A saved evangelist is going to keep commanding, and a saved person is going to keep listening and obeying. And that's all there is to it. Somebody says, well, you're not going to have a very popular church. I wasn't aware that I was in a popularity contest. Hey. This thing of rejection of authority goes right back to the devil himself. Did you know that? It goes right back to the devil himself. Now, of course, we all resist and rebel against the authority of the devil, right? I mean, he has no authority, right? He has no reason to get any respect from us, right? Correct? He deserves nothing, right? Turn with me to... Oh, we'll go to Jude 8. We'll begin with verse 5. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving the people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. His point is, even though the Lord saved people out of slavery, as Jesus has saved us out of the slavery of sin, subsequently, if they did not believe, they were destroyed in the wilderness. So he's kind of, I want to remind you of this. Verse 6, and angels who did not keep their own domain, their own position, their own authority, or what they had, but abandoned their proper abode, well, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the day of judgment. Even angels. places, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them. Since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh. That's what that means. Yes. And exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same manner, watch this. He's talking about the people that have crept into the church now. These same men, also by dreaming. That's what God calls you when you start rebelling against authority. You're a dreamer. You're a dreamer. You think you got authority? You're dreaming. You think you're better than this person? You're a dreamer. They defile the flesh. What else do they do? Look at the problem. Look at one of the characteristics of defiling the flesh. It's together with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. What do? This thing of rejecting authority. What do? They reject authority. That's pretty bad. It's listed in the bad list of things, isn't it? Resisting, despising, rejecting authority. They reject authority. They revile angelic majesties. Now, remember Michael the Archangel? Ever hear of him? I'm not talking about on the Airwolf. I'm talking about the real Archangel. Michael. He even says, Michael, the Archangel, that means the top angel, the Archangel. When he disputed with the devil, had an argument with the devil, and argued about the body of Moses, he did not dare, Michael, the top angel, did not dare to pronounce against him, that's the devil, a railing judgment or accusation. But he said, "The Lord rebuke you." He didn't even dare, from his own authority, as being head angel, challenge the devil. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." He depended on God's authority entirely. Second Peter 2, verse 10, says basically the same idea. Talking about how he rescued Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, verses 6 and 7. Oppressed by sensual conduct of unprincipled men. He's talking about homosexuality again. Verse 8. For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while he was living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day and night with their lawless deeds, with their lack of authority, their resisting authority. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Especially, here's the list again, those who indulge in the flesh in its corrupt desires and those who despise authority. See the problem again? See, because even if you want to do these things, if you don't despise authority, and authority tells you don't do it, what are you not going to do? Even if you want to do it, you're not going to do it. Because you respect authority. What does it take to be despising of authority? What does it take? It takes daring, doesn't it? Does anyone want a little excitement in your life? It takes daring. What else does it take? They're daring. What else do they do? They're self-willed. And they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. They should be trembling. Whereas angels, who are greater in might and in power, do not bring a reviling judgment against the demons that followed Satan. They do not bring an accusation against them before the Lord. They just understand these guys are still, they may be fallen angels, but they were created by God and at a high position. And God will take care of them. But he's saying Satan was powerful. And he didn't say, "I rebuke you, Satan." Did he? Michael, the top angel. No. Why? Simply because of his position. His authority. Did God give Satan authority? Even in this world? Yet, limited though it is, what did he give him? He He gave him a position of authority, even though he fell and left his original domain. And hell is holding him in chains of darkness for eternal punishment. He didn't just give him no power, did he? But he comes with all power and signs and lying wonders. My point is very simple then. Even the devil commanded respect from Michael because of who he was. Because of what he was. What he is. Does a leader of God's people demand more respect? Does not a teacher of God's word, not much talk about me, I'm talking about anybody. Somebody had a problem with me. They want to talk with me. But one of their problems was stories getting bent up and twisted around. I don't want to meet with them in private anymore. Their problem has become public. What do I want to do? I'll meet with the person in the leadership group. Let the leadership of the church meet with them. No, why? Hold on, I want to see if I can work it out with you. Why don't you just work it out with the leadership group? That's not going to do any good anyway. Why? They're all in your back pocket. All right, what does he not do now? He only doesn't trust me. What else does he not trust? The leadership of the church. If he could work it out with me, what would he still have to do? Work it out with each and every person that's in the church besides. At least it's in the leadership group. It's the teachers or preachers or leadership of the congregation. No way. Let him work it out with the leadership or not at all. Is it dangerous? Is it wrong to reject authority? Yes. It's wrong to despise authority. Yes. What we need to do is submit to authority of our government and our leaders, the governors, kings, whatever. We need to remember those who led us, follow their example, imitate their faith. We need to submit to their authority. We need to obey them. We need to let them do this with joy. Those who are preachers and teachers need to keep on commanding the word of God and not be intimidated. We need to be in subjection to one another in our fear of Christ. We don't need to be seduced by the people and the times around us. We don't need to fill the generalization as a preacher. A denominational minister who called me up 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he's been working here a little under a year. And he said, Ken, you know something? He says, I just noticed something about Long Islanders. Because he didn't know I was born in the Bronx and raised in Long Island. He says, I've noticed in working on Long Island that they don't submit to authority. They're not very humble. They're not submissive. They don't submit very well, very easily. He says, maybe it has to do with the economic pressures. I don't know what it is. And I just said, you know what? You're a very perceptive man. I said, that's exactly what I think. After working 10 years on Long Island. I said, and that's just generally true for the Northeast. It's got individually, there are examples of that throughout the world, including in Bible times and in Asia, Asia Minor. But we live in amongst a people that are a little bit, they're lying, evil, lazy, gluttons. Let me tell you how that you handle them. What does the Bible say to do? You reprove them severely that they might be sound in the faith. Somebody says, no, you can't do that. You can't command people to do it. We can just leave. And you have a big church. Now, I'm not interested in a big church. I'm interested in saving souls. There's a difference. Where have you been? I mean, has anybody in the church, your leaders, your disciples, somebody who's been teaching you, leading you in the way of the truth, speaking the word of God to you, have they told you, look, you need to really start dropping some weight? Are you submitting to their authority? Have they told you, no, it's not good to watch those kind of movies anymore? Are you submitting to their authority? And they said, really, you need a haircut. One that's human. Are you submitting to their authority? You need to watch the way you dress and make sure that you wear underwear and pants that don't have holes in it at the same time. Or do you want to submit to their authority? These are things that most people shouldn't even have to be told. Are you going to bathe at least once weekly? Submit to their authority. Are you going to imitate, somebody says, well, I want you to imitate the outcome of my way of life, imitate my faith. Are you going to submit to God's authority? Isn't that the question? It's not just their authority, it's God's authority. When you take it upon yourself, well, I know basically what I want to do here or there. Are you going to submit to their authority? Are you going to submit to God's authority? When somebody says, we haven't seen you in church, I want to see you at a Wednesday night, and I want to see you on Sunday mornings once a week, unless you got a real good reason for not being here. I mean real good. Like a death in the family. Do you submit to their authority? Or is there something you need to repent for? Somebody says, I want this to be done by such and such a time. Nothing's happened really momentous that week. You could have done it, and you decide, no, I don't have to do it. Are you going to submit? Because we're not asking you to submit to men. Don't you understand? But if you don't submit to men, you're not going to submit to God. There is no submission to God. Just like if you don't love man, there is no love of God. If you don't serve man, there's no service to God. If you don't submit to God, the authority of man, you're not submitting to the authority of God. That's what my Bible says. That's what your Bible says. And you know what? If you do that, my job would be a whole lot happier. I'd be joyful about it, and that would be more profitable for you. I mean, I'll preach happier sermons. You won't be raked over the coal. More people will come back again after their first visit. And we'll be growing. Through faithfulness, not through compromise. My Bible says, submit thou one to another in the fear of Christ. Will you fear Christ today? Have you been out of authority? Have people told you, brother, you need to do this? And you've listened with half an ear and said, yeah, well, I know what he says. It's probably a good idea. I don't know. That's what he says. Repent. Repent. Somebody says, well, no, you shouldn't be striving after money. And somebody says, yeah, it's easy for him to say. Look what he's got. Repent. I mean, if the person tells you, don't do this and don't do that, and commands you to follow the will of Christ, and he goes off and takes drugs. And he told you the word. Yeah, obey him. Don't go out and take drugs with him. But listen to what he if he tells you, don't do that, be faithful. Has the truth changed? His example of it stinks. And that's why as leaders, like I said, you can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you won't go. Don't pull this thing of, don't do as I say. Don't do as I do as I say. Don't pull that. Don't pull it with your kids. Don't pull it with members of the church. If you're in the leadership, if you take on the mantle of leadership, now you've taken on an awesome responsibility. Because people are going to start remembering you. People are going to start thinking about the outcome of your way of life. And they're going to start imitating your faith. If your faith takes drugs, you want people taking drugs? No. My Bible says that the only way to get into heaven is in Jesus Christ. And the only way that my Bible says you can get into Jesus Christ is to be baptized into Jesus Christ and into his death, burial, and resurrection. And if you haven't done that yet, then you're not into Jesus Christ. You can't believe into Jesus Christ. You can't pray into Jesus Christ. You can't confess into Jesus Christ. You can find the words into Jesus Christ several places in your Bible. And in every case, the word baptized into Jesus Christ is there. And only baptized into Jesus Christ. And that's what you have to do. You have to pray. You have to confess. You have to repent. But you also have to be baptized. Is she making it? Okay. I used to get so nervous with my babies that start doing that. Pat, hold their arms up. Will you submit to the authority of Christ? It's not a man telling you. It's not a man telling you be baptized. It's Jesus Christ. Will you obey His authority? If you need to repent, if there's anything we can do for you, if we can baptize you to Jesus Christ today, if there's anything that we can do to help you come closer to God, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.